Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. Come explore news, information, entertainment, and ideas from a pagan point of view around the globe. Tune in every night for interviews and lively discussions on current events, philosophies, traditional and not-so-traditional practices, DIY projects, the who's who and what's what of our growing pagan community right here on Blog Talk Radio in English and now in Spanish.
Good evening, good night, good morning, good wherever in the world you are. This is Corellian Power Hours, Thursday night on Pagans Tonight Radio Network, and this is Reverend Terry Power coming to you tonight live from Anniston, Alabama, or Oxford, Alabama, actually a suburb of Anniston, but I'm down here doing a little bit of fiber work and enjoying the being home in the South for a few days. And then I get to spend a bonus weekend with my angel in Georgia this weekend. So it's all great times. Very busy, very crazy schedule. I will be leaving you guys tonight after the ritual. By the way, stick around tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern time. Don will be having our Samhain ritual. And we'll be having a really nice time with that. And then immediately after that, I have to bug out and go to work. So, very, very strange schedule. Anyway, so tonight, we are continuing our animal totems discussion. And tonight, we're going to be speaking specifically about birds. And we'll be taking some callers at 347-308-8222. Remember to hit the one button to throw up a flag and let me know you want to talk. So we'll be looking for some callers tonight and be looking for everybody to stick around for the ritual. It's going to be one of Lord Don's really nice Samhain Beltane rituals, kind of studying the opposites, and should be a really good time. So let's see, animals, birds specifically as animal totems. In the research I've done, and I did manage to remember to pack my copy of Animal Speak as I was hurriedly throwing stuff into my suitcase on Tuesday afternoon. I found out Monday night I had to get on a plane Wednesday morning. So anyway, I did manage to pack Animal Speech, but in some of the other research, found a couple of comments about birds as animal totems. And I will say that the first totem animal in my life was the eagle. And I guess it went with my dreams of being a pilot and of flight and everything that went with that in my youth. And over time, eagle is still a factor in my life, but over time, another animal became much more strongly my totem. And this day, I'm sure that's going to be the life totem. But birds in general are survivalists. They most often will choose to fly away rather than get in a conflict. They instinctively know that fighting is a very dangerous endeavor and will therefore avoid trouble, injury, or possible death by just not being there. They'll just fly off. They have amazing reflexes, and they teach us about awareness and adaptability. Birds, of course, represent the air element, and they are also teachers of proper breathing. Songbirds are also there to teach us about the healing properties of sound. So, generally speaking, The bird totems are about higher knowledge. They're the messengers. I mean, from the time of primitive man, anything that could fly was seen as godlike. So many of the ancient gods are depicted with wings or with birds for messengers. The two ravens of Odin come to mind immediately as messengers. The Thunderbird in Native American spirituality is another one that comes to my mind almost immediately. So, all of history is replete with Quetzalcoatl, Horus in the Egyptian. You get the general idea. So anything that flies is considered innately spiritual. And some cultures thought of them, again, as messengers. Some thought of them as the gods themselves. Some thought of birds as our very thoughts being carried or our prayers being carried to the gods, kind of in the messenger role from us to the gods rather than from the gods to us. And of course, as gods, they were thought to bring rain and thunder and all of that. So that gives you some idea in general. Now, I'm seeing a whole lot of comments in the chat room about different animal totems. And feel free to call in and we can talk about each of them. I've got three or four lists as well as I've got animal speak here. So we can go through some of the individual animals, or birds rather, specifically, and talk about them and how they relate as animal totems. Again, that number is 347-308-8222. And I'd love to hear your calls and your comments and your thoughts. And let's see, we've already got a caller in the queue. And let's see, I think I know who this is.
Yeah, it's me.
And me is Jeanette, right?
Yeah.
Okay, do me a favor. Turn down your computer behind you.
I can't turn down the computer. That's my keyboard. Unless I'm echoing, in which case I'll have to call back.
Yeah, there was a bit of echo. It sounded like maybe your speakers were turned up, and I was thinking you could turn down the speakers and still hear me on the phone.
No, I have an old Nokia phone, you know, the bricks that never die, but occasionally it'll echo.
Gotcha. All right, so what's on your mind tonight?
Oh, not much. I actually just posted one that most people don't actually know is a bird. It's called a titmouse. It's got a really funny name. But it's the bird of truth and in totem animals.
Okay, cool. So what are your general thoughts about birds as animal totems? I know I hit on several ideas and topics, but
I'm a bird person from the time I was a little kid. Like, my mom, it scared her when me and my sister were kids. We'd go out into the field and come back with fully grown wild birds that would just sit in our hands, and she's sitting there going, oh, my God, they brought back a dead bird. What's going on? Or, you know, this bird's injured. She'd go to touch it, and the thing would get up and fly away. So birds have shown up in my life in more than one occasion.
Okay.
But, I tend to recognize with the birds of prey, which there's a few people who – there's comments going on. 1 second.
Yeah.
Because I have an accent. Apparently.
Well, actually, you might have just a little bit of an accent, but that's okay. So carry on. You were talking about birds of prey.
Actually, if I wasn't in an apartment right now, I would probably have a passage red-tailed hawk on my arm. I've been on and off doing falconry since I was 12, and it's just a really common thing amongst me and my friends on Facebook, actually.
Okay.
But we all seem to identify somehow with birds of prey, and it's the one way that you can actually get close enough to them to learn from them physically as well as spiritually.
Right, understood. All right, and I would guess that as an animal totem, birds of prey would have a different kind of energy and a different message. I guess all the birds of prey could kind of be lumped together to a certain degree.
In some aspects, each of them, because if, like, you can lump together, like, eagles or falcons, hawks, owls, each of those individual groupings tend to spread out more within the individual group as opposed to just lumping them all together as birds of prey. There's a few things that'll run the same with them, but, like, here's a good example. If you were to compare an egret to a falcon, the egret tends to be one who teaches to stand in the physical and spiritual, representing healing and emotions, and bridging the heart and mind, and they're sharp, direct, and to the point. Whereas if you were to go with a falcon, it's more the power of insight, agility, and discernment, and how to attach opportunities in your life.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess I was thinking more of the raptor-type birds of prey. I mean, I understand there are birds of prey that are more stand, like the water birds and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, I guess I was kind of thinking of raptors more than birds of prey in general. I guess I was specifically thinking of raptors.
Yeah, raptors covers any bird that eats other animals.
Does it? I thought
so. Yeah, a raptor is a hawk, a falcon, an owl, or any of those that prey upon another animal. They get their name based off, like, the word raptor based off of the dinosaur, the raptor, that, you know,
right,
was fairly bird-like in its stature and would prey upon other dinosaurs.
Right. So, and that's what I was thinking was, you know, the eagles, hawks, falcons.
Yeah, eagles, hawks, falcons, owls. When you get into the more scavenger type, then you kind of, they're still birds of prey. They're still raptors because they will hunt. They just tend to not do it as often.
Right. And then you've got the water birds, which eat fish and other types of animals. They just don't tend to hunt from the air.
Ospreys and bald eagle, actually ospreys are the most common water bird of prey, and they are classed as a raptor, but if you actually look at, and this makes them interesting and completely diverse from any other bird on Earth, the osprey is actually its own species.
Okay.
It has, it kind of reaches through in its spiritual meanings as well, but the osprey is the only bird that, it has four toes as per most birds, but it has a toe that can it turns around so it can have a double, like an X shape footprint, as opposed to having the typical, you know, like upside down peace sign one.
Okay.
But it can actually flip its toe back and forth based off of if it's trying to get a grip on a fish or something.
Oh, okay, excellent. All right, well, we've got another caller in the queue, so I'm going to go ahead and bring in this other caller. And 387 area code, you're on the air with us. Who's this?
Actually, it's 386. It's Reverend June. How are you guys?
Hi, June. How are you?
Hi, June.
Oh, not bad. Just dealing with a little bit of allergies, so forgive my voice real quick. Question comes as to birds, specifically hawk. Once a connection has been made between a person and, say, the hawk, is that connection only to that bird, or is it with hawks in general?
Are you talking about a specific species of hawk, or a very specific this particular one hawk?
Just an instance of, I was told when I was young that my encounter with the hawk was because it was my protector, my grandmother, had since moved many, many years ago from where I grew up, and have noticed the connection here also. Can't be the same family, can't be the same, I would say, species, because from what I recall as a younger person, colors were different. Just out of curiosity, is that species always going to be your protector, or is it that one particular animal per time or at a time?
I guess that would be particular to you more than to the species or to the animal.
Okay.
I know a lot of people talk about the wolf energy, specifically. Well, there's also several varieties of wolves. So I would think that hawk in general, being a protector, wouldn't be necessarily an odd thing. And somebody, I'm getting an echo back from one of your phones.
Not me.
I don't know if it's me or not.
Nokia brick.
Okay, because I was hearing myself back in my ear. So, Jeanette, why don't you try calling back in? I think it might be you.
Okay, 1 second.
All right. So, June. So anyway, you were talking about the hawk.
Yes.
And I would think that hawk would be kind of, just hawk in general would be a perfectly acceptable explanation.
Okay. Just being the type bird it is.
Exactly. There's a lot of varieties of hawks, but I wouldn't expect that it would have to be just specifically one species. Now, it could be. I mean, it could be. I know that the wolf that I most often encounter in my vision work is a gray wolf.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that another, variety of wolf wouldn't have something to say to me or wouldn't be there to, share energy with me.
Well, given your shows, I have started to do a little bit of backtracking and more reading upon the subject. So it's not just the connection. It also has to do with you and the connection. I think you were describing it week before last as a depending on what you need or are going through at that moment, depends on what your totem is going to provide avenues for you to see.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you might have an animal that's trying to bring you a message at a particular time that is not necessarily a life totem.
Gotcha.
I get messages all the time from an animal that will act out of character, as if it's trying to get my attention, and I look up and do some research on what that animal specifically is trying to, what I learn about the animal, because somewhere in there is the message.
Correct.
But if Hawk is certainly making itself known repeatedly, often, and almost constantly, as it seems that you're saying.
Yes.
That would be
and
something to do some more research on.
And it is not just one hawk. And like I said, over the years, I've, bless them when I see them and, have a nice day. Depending on how close they get, then I know something's up. But no, I just really haven't delved into the research until now, given your show. It's like, pieces start to be put together with the puzzle, and it's making a pretty interesting picture.
Well, excellent. Well, I'm glad that we're helping.
Yes, of course. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. And you have a great night. Did you want to stick around the conversation, or you want to go back in the queue?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and hang up and turn my computer volume back on.
All righty. Well, thanks again for calling in, and call in anytime.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, June, thank you for adding those thoughts and also the kind words. It's nice to know that sometimes what we're doing here makes a difference, and it feels good. Thank you again. All right. We're 20 minutes after the hour, so I'm going to go ahead and take our first break, And in keeping with the theme tonight, I'm going to play Kenny Klein's Fur and Feather. And we'll be back in about 6 or 7 minutes.
Water from his well. nobody but one of gold. Through all creatures are the gods may hold.
Pagan's Tonight Radio Network is a nightly podcast on Blog Talk Radio with a variety of shows. Explore news, information, entertainment, and ideas from a pagan point of view around the globe. Join us on Crystal Web Mondays with Ed and Marianne, exploring where crystals, crafts, and psychic powers converge. Followed by Mark Mandrake and Blue Firewitch covering the mystic and pagan world on the path less traveled. On Tuesdays, Surf Crash Study with Selena Fox. Followed by Pagan Priest, a panel show with priests from around the nation talking about men's spirituality. On Wild Wednesdays, Where Anything Goes with Ed the Pagan and me, Tracy Logan Wood. Followed by Over to Oberon featuring Grey School's headmaster, wizard Oberon Zell Ravenheart, and Green Egg Editrix Ariel Montserrat. On Karelian Thursdays with Terry Power, discussing the nature of the divine, followed by the pagan pundit, Reverend Don Lewis, the chancellor of the Karelian tradition. On Friday, Pagan Priestess, another panel show featuring priestesses from a variety of backgrounds, philosophies, and traditions. On Saturday, Pagans Tonight in Espanol, led by Reverend Lamatic and Yoko, followed by Circle's Pagan Warrior Radio, a show that supports military pagans, friends, and family. On Sunday, variety show with Liz Hamilton, followed by the new show, Pagan Science Radio. Please visit us at www.pagans.com to see show schedules for all shows or friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Pagans Tonight is sponsored in part by WSI International, your online source for pagan, Wiccan, and magical education. Tune in and join us. Thanks and blessed be.
Hi, this is Celine.
And Seymour.
From Barbados. And you're listening to Terry
on Pagans Tonight
on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, and we are back, and this is Reverend Terry Power coming to you live from Anniston or Oxford, Alabama, having some fun talking about birds as animal totems. So what I'm hoping for is to get a few more callers tonight. I've got Jeanette coming back on with us in just a minute. June called in and wanted to talk about hawks a little bit. I'd love to get your calls tonight at 347-308-8222. And we can talk about different animal totems, or if you've got questions in general, birds, or, specifically we're talking about birds tonight. So let's see. Jeanette, are you there with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. So we were talking, I guess, about birds of prey. You were talking about ospreys, but you had also mentioned some of the water birds while you were, when you were talking, and we got kind of sidetracked. Did you want to elaborate on that some more, or?
Well, what water birds specifically? Like the birds of prey style water birds, or?
Yes, like the standing hunters, that sort of thing.
Okay. Well, generally, they all run under the same classification as a lot of different ones. As far as the hawks and eagles go, they tend to have most of the same meanings. Now, when you get into the migratory water birds that are, the geese and ducks and all that kind of stuff, then you get some really random meanings. But by far, if you wanted to class the flamingo as a bird of prey because it eats krill or whatever, they generally teach how to maintain balance and movement through emotions.
Okay.
Which is really where they kind of spread off from everything. Other than that, flamingos help bring color and vivacity into your life.
Okay, cool. Well, we've got a question in the chat room about turkeys, and I was flipping through some of the program notes and research while you were talking, and interestingly enough, the turkey represents our harvest time and thinking of being thankful for our blessings.
The turkey is pretty much coinciding with Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the whole Thanksgiving turkey thing. I guess it's really, thankful for us, but maybe not so much for the turkey. But
yeah, I don't think the turkey would be too thankful for that one. I actually found a really interesting comic strip about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, the turkey teaches about vitality of life and how all is sacred, a time for higher vision to achieve goals, whether they're spiritual, physical, mental, or emotional. So aid in the exchange of and transformation of such perceptions. So I hope that helps out.
Now, the thing I like about turkeys is it's actually a really good one. If you are a gardener, turn to turkeys for help because they teach you how to harvest items with patience.
Ah. Well, that's interesting. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
I just had my dog jump up on my lap and tried to get him down as silently as I could. Because 60 pounds of golden retriever isn't the funnest thing to have on your lap when you're only 5 feet tall.
Yeah. Yeah, and then somebody was asking about ducks and geese. And ducks are emotional comfort and protection in general ducks. I mean, I know that each type of duck is going to have some, you know, some specifics. But in general, ducks are comfort and protection, specifically emotional. Teaches us how to move with grace and comfort in actions, emotions, and thoughts. It aids in balancing the mind and emotions, the physical and the spiritual. And I was flipping through here trying to find geese while we are...
The goose.
The goose. The goose is
high. I always laugh when people say they eat geese or, you know, we're having a goose for Christmas or whatever because growing up, I didn't know that this one guy's name wasn't Goose until I was about 14 years old because that's just what everybody called him. So we're having goose for dinner. Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's see. Goose as a bird animal totem. Is the questing call travels, imagination, communication. Imagination is stirred, and it teaches how to move along one's spiritual path and the power and strength of community efforts. It aids in finding happiness and joy. I'm guessing that has a lot to do with its migratory nature. So.
Yeah, and the fact that if you actually look at the whole happiness and joy thing, you don't normally find a goose that's very happy standing by itself unless it's surrounded by its babies and it's a mom kind of protecting. But you normally see geese, and it doesn't matter what time of the year it is, there's normally a huge flock of them.
Yeah.
And if you separate a goose from the flock, then suddenly they're going a little bit nuts.
Okay, well, I thought they were all a little nuts to begin with.
They're a little bit nuts to begin with. I've been chased down and bit and have scars on my legs from a Chinese goose my aunt used to have.
Yeah, geese are not friendly and can tend to be on the aggressive side.
Yeah, they're very protective and territorial.
All right. All right, let's see. I also saw a comment in here, I think a question about a robin. Oh, and someone is asking me, where am I getting this information? I will tell you that I have not the slightest clue where some of this is coming. Well, where some of this is coming from, you know, my crack research staff has been doing a great job of keeping me up to speed on show notes and helping me with research. And your phone's doing it again, Jeanette.
It is?
Yes.
All righty.
So I'm going to let you deal with that. Let's see. Now, someone in the chat room asked about robins. And robin signifies stimulation of new growth and renewal. He teaches that any changes can be made with joy, laughter, and a song in the heart. Robin shows that shows how to ride the winds of passion within your heart and become independent through this challenge or through these changes. So that gives you a little bit about the robin. And let's see. Okay, Jeanette, are you back?
Yes, I am.
All right, it still sounds like it's doing it a little bit. Also, it
I'm
looks
typing on my keyboard, so that could make sense.
Yeah. All right. We've also got another caller in the queue, and I don't know if this caller is in there coming in early for ritual or is here to talk about animal or birds. So I'm gonna bring her online. Okay, Samantha, is that you?
Yes, it's me.
All right. Did you want to talk about the topic, or were you calling in early for the ritual?
I was calling in early for ritual. I just got here, so I have no idea what you guys are talking about right now.
All right. Well, we're talking about birds as animal totems. So,
okay.
So I will put you back in the queue, and I'll be ready for you here in about 20 minutes or so.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, darling.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So let's see, what else do we have in the chat room? Vultures and condors and scavenger birds. Scavenger birds are always kind of interesting. And a lot of people don't think of them as totems. It's always interesting to me how sometimes the people, you know, you hear a lot about, you know, hawks and you know, and eagles and, you know, of course, with the animals, wolf or buffalo or bear. But you don't hear about some of the smaller or some of the what might be considered less desirable.
The more grotesque of the bird species, because they do vomit to protect themselves.
Yeah, they can be a little bit on the nasty side. Buzzards and vultures teach the power of purification of the mind, body, and spirit. The vulture aids accomplishing this or these tasks through great patience and vision, using sense of smell and discernment, and how to glide and soar with your own energy. He teaches efficiency in action and promises that changes are imminent. He shows how to restore harmony of thoughts and feelings as one can reach new heights with little effort. The buzzards can aid in uncovering truths, clarifying previous conceptions, and allowing us to see and hear subtle, hidden qualities using intuition and awareness. So those are some of the things about vultures and buzzards. And let's see, there was another question in there.
African grays.
Yeah, well, there's also questions following up. Vultures, buzzards, yes. Carrion eaters, yes. They're the cleanup. They're the cleanup crew of nature.
For as much hell as they get, if we didn't have them, the world would be in a horrible condition.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So
there would be so much disease.
Yeah, they are the cleanup crew. So, and they do. I mean, the way they soar and stay in the air with so little effort, it does teach us a great deal about maximizing an efficiency of effort. So, yes, you had something about the African grays.
Yeah, there was a question there about African grays. And I haven't personally, and I've been looking because African grays are my favorite species of parrot. I'm hoping to own one within the next few years. I haven't been able to find anything specific to the African grays that I can find to read in English. I found a lot of stuff that are in other languages, and when I run it through a translator, nothing comes back but gibberish. So I've generally just kind of been lumping them in with parrots, which teaches you to listen to all of nature and awaken the language within your intuition for more open communications.
Okay.
And it helps you to bridge the understanding and show a deeper and subtle harmony inherent to all things. And parrots in general tend to show intelligence as long as they've been treated properly, good temperament, and a sense of diplomacy. And I will actually give you a random fact about all birds compared to all other animals in the world. Birds actually have first and last names, especially if they live within communal groups. Scientists have studied it, and when they're born, there's one sound that a mother will make to their chicks that are the exact same. and then followed by a different sound for each individual chick. And they've found that those birds actually go on. And when another bird is trying to get that bird's attention, they'll use those same sounds. So it's like birds are naming their children. And in order to keep a differential to prevent, like, I guess, inbreeding or something, they actually have a family identifier sound to go with those individual birds.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, let's see. We got somebody in here asking about swans. And then about hummingbirds. So I'm going to talk about swans first, and then we'll take a short break because we are coming up on 40 minutes after the hour. Let's see. Swans show true beauty of self, expression of the power of grace, and how the inner beauty of others is reflected within you. He aids in awakening your inner power for spiritual progression and developing intuition. He shows how to move through emotions along with sensitivity and empathy toward others, which is awareness to move in spiritual and physical realms, along with healing and transformation for soul growth. So there you are. And let me go ahead and take another short break, and we'll be back, and we'll start wrapping up. We'll talk about hummingbirds. Because someone else was asking about that, and start getting ready for ritual. So let's see. I am going to play a Wendy Rule song tonight, but I'm not going to play Dance of the Wild Fairies. I'm going to play Fly Away.
Yay!
Yeah, it just seemed like it, you know, maybe not quite about birds, but it's about flying. So Fly Away by Wendy Rule, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
The distant world is near. Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis from Witchwool.com, your anyone, anytime, anyplace online magical education. With a wide range of classes in magic, witchcraft, and psychic arts, as well as exciting social forums through Ning and Yahoo, video through Magic TV, and online radio with Pagans Tonight. Buy a membership today, Witchwool.com.
Hi, this is Reverend Connie from Temple of the Trees, and you're listening to Pagans Tonight on Blog Talk Radio. And now back to Reverend Derry.
All right, and we are back for our final segment before we head into the ritual tonight. And this is Reverend Terry Power. We've been talking about birds as animal totems, and we've had quite a few questions in the chat room. And let's see, Jeanette, bringing you back on. How are
awesome.
You doing?
Not too bad.
Let's see, I guess we need to start wrapping up. Did you find anything about hummingbird? I've got a couple of things here.
Yeah, I've got a few things too.
Okay, because I know we were asked about hummingbird before the break, so go ahead. And
well, generally, the hummingbird is seen as ecstatic, love and happiness and the beat of life, and the miracle of the joy of living. It shows endurance so you don't burn yourself out and teaches the ability to heal. And I can understand that don't burn yourself out thing because that thing moves its wings.
Yeah, I think you're reading from some of the same sources that I am.
Oh, likely. Depending on who's on your research team, we tend to go to the same things. So.
Yeah, I'm thinking that I'm going to start getting some duplicated stuff when the research staff starts working. I'm going to have to get y'all communicating together. So, here's a question in the chat room. Did anyone ask about the chicken? And I do remember...
They asked about the rooster.
I do remember seeing something about chickens and chicks and hens and stuff like that, and I did not get to it at the time.
That was... most of that was actually us discussing when you said birds about them avoiding conflict. It's like, yeah, I've ever seen a mother hen? That thing will kill a cat.
Yeah, understood. Okay, so let's see. Chicken is fertility energies, enthusiasm, new growth, balance, patience with efforts and rewards. So there we go. Now we've got time for just a couple of more calls, or maybe one more call, because we are starting toward the top of the hour and getting ready for the ritual. So I do want to welcome everybody and encourage you to stick around for the ritual. Lord Don always writes such amazing rituals, and we're going to be studying the balance of the opposites of Samhain and Beltane with this ritual tonight. So it should be, I've read through it. So, I mean, it's going to be a great ritual, and I hope everybody sticks around. Let's see, and the ritualists can go ahead and start calling in now, by the way. So, Jeanette, as we're about 10 minutes from the top of the hour, did you have anything in general that you wanted to add as we start wrapping up?
One that wasn't asked about, and it's one that I've seen in a lot of conversations or questions to me, is actually the crane. And I'm almost shocked that somebody didn't ask about them. Because out of all the totem animals in a lot of the Asian philosophy stuff, the crane is everywhere.
Okay, well, I mean, that's about justice, isn't it?
Yeah, justice, longevity, feminine energies, and proper focus in all endeavors.
Okay, and I know the crane is actually
it's also a
instrumental
sign of peace.
And also it's involved in martial arts.
Yep.
you know, emulating. And that's something that, I mean, that's another whole topic we really didn't get into, was the power of emulation. And, you know, and emulating the other animals, and or the birds in particular, imitation by bringing that energy into your life through imitation. And crane,
yep.
And crane and the dances of the crane would be one way to do that. That kind of comes to my mind.
Well, there's one thing that I've told a lot of people, and it when they bring up spirit animals and stuff, and it's like, well, relate it to your life. What, not necessarily what spiritual aspects about it is it attempting to bring to you, but what physical aspects can you bring to your life that that animal has that you can learn from? Like if you are currently going through a time of clumsiness and all of a sudden you're having this graceful animal appear, well, is it trying to teach you, you know, if it had some random meaning, like that it was new beginnings or trust or looking for solutions or something, does that apply to your life at the time, or is it trying to teach you how to be more graceful?
Right. All right. Well, Jeanette, I do want to thank you for being with us tonight and assisting with the animal totems. I know that you're a big person with the birds and the reptiles. So
birds,
I know that
reptiles, and small mammals.
All right.
And aqua.
So I do appreciate you bringing some of your thoughts and ideas, particularly from the person that handles a lot of the animals. Let's see. So as one of, I guess, starting to be one of the regular callers, if people have any questions for you, how would they get in touch with you?
My Facebook would probably be about the easiest way. Facebook, because I have too many emails and half of them, there's so much junk going through them lately, I don't know what's what. So I just posted the link to my Facebook in the chat. So
okay.
Anybody can go ahead, and I think you might have to add me before you can message me. I'm not too sure. I'll go in and check the settings and stuff. If that's the case, by the end of tonight, you'll be able to just message me if you don't want to send me a friend request.
All right, sounds great. Well, darling, again, thank you for calling in. I want to thank all of the listeners. Thank you, June, for calling in and getting involved. Thanks to the research staff. You guys always make me sound like I'm smart and prepared, and it is greatly appreciated. Couldn't do this nearly as well without you guys, and you rock. Let's see. Guests. I see a lot of guests in the chat room. Now, guests in the chat room, after tonight's show, of course, I'm talking about the ritual as well. After the ritual tonight, go to Blog Talk Radio and sign up for a free account so that you can come in and join the chat room and join the fun. I know you heard us referring to the chat room several times. If you're not in the chat room, you're actually missing a lot of the show and a lot of the fun. And I also see a lot of people have called in just to listen tonight, and I'm glad that you guys are here. If you don't have access to the computer some nights, you can always call into the call-in number at 347-308-8222 and just listen. If you're calling in to talk, you hit the one button, it throws up a flag and lets us know. And if you're calling in just to listen, you don't hit the button, and then we have we'll just leave you there in the queue so you can listen to the show. So, all right, Jeanette, I'm gonna go ahead and put you back in the queue because you're starting to get that sound in my ear again. So
that's what happens when you have a loud keyboard.
Yep. Yeah, thanks a lot for being with me, and you take care of yourself.
Yeah, you too.
All righty. And let's see, we are just about to wrap up, so you can get in touch with me. I am Terry Power on Facebook in Northampton, Pennsylvania, easy enough to find. And you can also go to the public figure page at Rev Terry Power HP, or on Twitter at Rev Terry Power HP. So that's about it. We're getting ready to start into the ritual. I'm going to play a song to lead into it, and I'm going to play Samhain Night by Jenna Green as soon as I can find it here in the list of songs here on the switchboard. There we go. And I, again, thanks to everybody. Share this with your friends so they can all go back and download it later. And if you've got any questions or comments for me or any of the hosts, you can contact us. The email address is pagans tonight@gmail.com. And I guess that's about it. So we'll be back here in about 5 minutes or so with the ritual. And I hope you have a week filled with love and with wonder.
Takes a fire, holding lover tight. Welcome now, the spirits of all Samhain Night. Light the sacred fire, holding lover tight. Welcome now, the spirits of all Samhain Night. The veil between the other world and the plane of mortal, thin to welcome the ancient ones, the earth becomes their portal. Let not your heart be heavy, let not your head be light. Keep aware and quench your fears on the Samhain Night. Tap the lantern circle to protect you from your fears. As we celebrate the harvest and the Celtic New Year, come with me into the woods deep in the sacred grove, and dance with me for life and love as the elements unfold. Light the sacred fire, hold your love tight. Welcome now, the spirits of all Samhain Night. Light the sacred fire, hold your love tight. Welcome now, the spirits of all Samhain Night. We honor our ancestors, loved ones who have passed. We keep them in our memory with love that always lasts. Tonight they pass the bridge of sorts to be with us again. Through the veil of spirit world into the realm of men. By oak and ash and thorn, we build the sacred fire. We dance until the morn, the smoke it rises higher. Study close the shadow, study close the flame. A voice from long ago may whisper your name. We dare not fall asleep till the promise of a temple dawn, the way the spirit creeps. Another Samhain coming dawn, but we will not forget their loving presence here. Those who've gone before us will honor all the years. Light the sacred fire, hold your love tight. Welcome now, the spirits of a Samhain Night. Light the sacred fire, hold your love tight. Welcome now, the spirits of all Samhain Night. So hold your love tight and walk now in the sweet dream through old Samhain Night, where things are never as they seem. Light the sacred fire, hold your love tight. Welcome now, the spirits of all Samhain Night. Light the sacred fire, hold your love tight. Welcome now, the spirits of all Samhain Night.
During our commercial break. And now, back to our show.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from beautiful Chicago. And it's time for our on-air ritual. And with me, our guest ritualists, Reverend Samantha Sullivan, Reverend Pamela Fry, Reverend Melissa Maxson, and Reverend Terry Power. Let us begin by clearing and releasing all excess energy. Find a comfortable position and release all of the tensions and anxieties of your day. Let them flow out of you like water flowing down through your arms, down through your legs, down and out through your hands and feet, returning to the universe to be reused in other ways. Now let us begin.
Imagine with me a ritual space. Imagine a space in any way that is right for you. It may be a clearing in the woods, a flower-decked bower, a marble-lined temple. It does not matter how the outer form appears, for the inner form is a sacred space we create and share together.
How does the sacred space feel to you? Feel its energy. Feel its strength. Allow it to fill you, to suffuse you. Become aware that you are not alone here. There are others, many others. All those who are taking part in this ritual. You may see them clearly, or you may just have a vague sense of them, but they are here. We are here.
Imagine with me a strong yellow-white light sweeping counterclockwise through the sacred space. A strong and cleansing light that sweeps out all negativity. Imagine any negative or unfocused energy being carried away by this light. Behold, we do cleanse and purify this sacred space that nothing harmful may remain here and good alone may abide.
Imagine with me a strong blue-white light sweeping clockwise through this sacred space. A strong and vibrant light that raises the vibration of all it comes in contact with. Imagine the vibration of the sacred space rising, becoming more spiritually charged. Behold, we do bless and charge this sacred space, directing its energy to the highest and strongest good.
Imagine now a circle of light surrounding you, circles of light surrounding us all, clear, bright white light forming a wall around us, moving upwards and downwards, over and under and all around us, a ball of light around each of us, around all of us, many balls of light and one ball of light, many circles and one circle. May our circle now be cast.
Behold, I do cut apart a place between the realms of humankind and of the mighty one, a circle of art to focus and to contain the powers we shall raise herein.
The circle is cast.
Circle is cast.
Now let us turn to the direction of the east, layer of the dawn. Imagine with me a column of white light arising in the direction of the east as we invoke the quarter.
I do invoke you, O golden eagle of the east, power of air. The beating of your wings raises the winds of inspiration and enlightenment. Share with us your powers of thought and delineation, that we may have clarity of mind and thought. Join us, be with us, guide and inspire us in this our holy ritual. We bid you hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
Let us turn to the direction of the south, layer of the noonday sun. Imagine with me a column of white light arising in the direction of the south as we invoke the quarter.
I do invoke you, O red dragon of the south, power of fire. You breathe forth your flames of passion and manifestation. Share with us your powers of creativity and courage, that our actions may be confident and effective. Join us, be with us, guide and inspire us in this our holy ritual. We bid you hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
Let us turn to the direction of the west, layer of the twilight. Imagine with me a column of white light arising in the direction of the west as we invoke the quarter.
I do invoke you, O blue dolphin of the west, power of water. From your blowhole you spout waves of sensitivity and compassion. Share with us your powers of love and empathy, that our emotions may be open and free-flowing. Join us, be with us, guide and inspire us in this, our holy ritual. We bid you hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
Let us turn to the direction of the north, layer of the night. Imagine with me a column of white light arising in the direction of the north as we invoke the quarter.
I do invoke you, O Black Bear of the North, power of earth. You make your home in the cave which resonates with wisdom and understanding. Share with us your powers of focus and integration, that we may be steady and well-grounded. Join us, be with us, guide and inspire us in this, our holy ritual. We bid you hail and welcome.
Hail.
Hail and welcome.
We invoke you, O great goddess. We invoke you in the south as the lady of life, arrayed with flowers and white light, who makes the earth to bring forth life and abundance of all kinds. We invoke you in the north as the lady of death, arrayed with the black night and silver stars, who transforms all things that new life may come when old life has faded. Holy lady of life and death, with love and with respect, we do invoke you.
Hail and welcome. We invoke you, O great God. We invoke you in the south as the Lord of Light, crowned with golden rays, the smiling sun that warms the earth and causes field and forest to thrive. We invoke you in the north as the Lord of Death, crowned with branching antlers, Lord of the gate between the worlds and of all the cycles of life. Holy Lord of life and death, with love and with respect, we do invoke you.
Hail and welcome.
O ancestors, beloved ones who have gone before, we invoke you and invite you to be with us this night. You who have prepared the way, walk with us and lead us forward. Join with us in our circle tonight, the living and the spirits together, hand in hand. One circle, one family, one people. Beloved ones, with love and with respect, we do invoke you.
Hail and welcome. Behold, we come together this night to celebrate the Sabbat of Samhain.
Behold, we come together this night to celebrate the Sabbat of Beltane.
In the north, Samhain brings the end of the harvest, as the days grow shorter and the world slips on toward winter. Now the mirror of life turns inward and we open our hearts to dreams and visions.
In the south, Beltane brings the onset of the growing season, as the sun's warmth moves the earth to ever greater expression of life and love. Now the mirror of life turns outward and we, like the earth, blossom and grow.
Samhain is the feast of death. Beltane is the feast of life. Each is a gate of the year, one yin that carries us inward, one yang that carries us outward. These are the cycles of life.
It is even so in all things. That which goes out must come in. That which goes up must come down. That which lives must die. And that which dies must live again.
For all that rises at Beltane dies at Samhain, but all that dies at Samhain rises again at Beltane. Thus at Beltane we celebrate the union of the god with the lady of life, and their union brings fertility to the earth. Yet at Samhain we celebrate the union of the same god with the lady of death, and their union brings rejuvenation and eventual rebirth to the soul.
We two unite for a time of life, and then must unite with death, only in time to return to life again. As the cycle of incarnation goes forward, we bring more and more of our spiritual nature into this world, and in time there shall seem no more separation between the worlds, when this life can fully encapsulate the whole nature of our spirit.
Find now a comfortable position. Release and allow all of the stresses and anxieties of your day pour away, running out of you like water, returning to the universe. Imagine yourself at the mouth of a cave. See the scene as clearly and vividly as you can. Feel the air, the ground beneath your feet. See the cave before you. Is the mouth of the cave large or small? Does it seem inviting or fearsome? As you look into the cave, is it night or day, summer or winter? Step into the cave, walk into its darkness. At first, you'll see only the light entering through the mouth of the cave, and beyond that, all is blackness. Enter that blackness and walk forward. In the distance, you'll see a bit of light, firelight, it would seem. Walk toward that light. As you near the light, your path becomes brighter. You enter a chamber within the cave, lit by a fire at its center. Hanging over the fire is a cauldron. How does this chamber seem to you? Is it large or small? Is it cheerful or eerie? Is it a large fire that burns so brightly, or a small one? What does the cauldron look like? Is it a simple iron pot, or is it intricately worked like the Bindestrup cauldron? How does it make you feel to look upon it? This is the womb of the goddess, the cauldron of life and death. You become aware of a woman now. The goddess. She is near the cauldron, though you had not seen her previously. What is she like? Is she the lovely mother goddess of life, or the wizened crone goddess of death? Is she beautiful? Is she frightening? Does she seem welcoming, or stern, or indifferent? Whatever the case, give her greeting, and thank her for the many blessings in your life. For no matter what your condition, you have many blessings if you take the time to see them. Now think about your life. Samhain and Beltane are gateways, one to increasing and one to releasing. They are different, yet they are the same, in that each ushers in change. What is it in your life that you would like to see change, either to increase or to release? Think about this and see it as clearly as you can. And when you are very clear on what it is you desire, imagine a ball of light between your two hands and place your desire for increase or for release within it. Then throw this ball of light into the cauldron. How does the cauldron react as you do this? Does it splash? Does it boil? Does it smoke? Does it spill over? Imagine your goal inside the cauldron, being transformed within it. Now the goddess will offer you a gift. Receive this gift. It may appear as an object, or it may be a message. It may even be a knowing, or in some cases, the gift may not become apparent to you until later. But whatever the gift is, accept it. Whether it first appears to be or not, it is directly tied to your goal. The goddess now takes up a cup of some sort and fills it with liquid from the cauldron. She hands you this cup. Receive it from her, and imagine the cup suffused with bright white light shining out in all directions. O holy goddess, may this cup be blessed. May it be a token of the bond of love between us now and always. Drink the liquid from the cup. Let it fill you. How does it feel? Can you taste it? Is it warm or cold? Is it sweet or savory or bitter? Drink it all and feel its energy going into every part of your body. Now look around you again. How does the goddess seem now? Has she changed or is she the same as she has been? Is the chamber the same as it was when you entered? Are you yourself the same? Give thanks to the goddess. Leave the chamber as you entered it, and walk through the darkness back to the mouth of the cave. Step out of the cave into the open air. Is it day or night now? What do you see outside of the cave? Take a moment to savor the experience. Now return to yourself and this, our ritual space. Again, release any excess energy.
What are these things, and who do they serve? The initial scene outside of the cave represents how you feel about your life. The nature of the cave mouth represents how easy or hard it is for you to access your higher self. How you felt entering the cave represents how you feel about your own spiritual state, which is represented by the chamber itself. The fire represents your connection to deity, the eternal flame. The cauldron represents your own ability to manifest or to receive from deity. The way in which the goddess presented herself represents your interaction with deity at this moment in your life, and any changes in these, in any of these things during the visualization, represents the effects of the working itself.
And was this the goddess of life or the goddess of death?
The goddess of life is the goddess of death. The goddess of death is the goddess of life. When Yang has gone as far forward as it can, it must turn back and become Yin. When Yin has gone as far inward as it can, it must turn back and become Yang. Obverse and reverse they are, life and death, God and goddess. Light and darkness, all is one.
So mote it be.
So mote it
be. So mote it be.
We will now open the crystal web.
Let us find a comfortable position. Imagine with me the sleeping crystals in the web. All over the world, hundreds, thousands of crystals buried in the earth or otherwise linked into the web, all sleeping in their cubes of white light. Cubes of light which slowly spin clockwise around the crystals they encase. Let us call into ourselves the energies of the universe. Imagine the energy of the universe coming into you, a beautiful, clear white light coming down into you through the crown of your head. A beautiful, clear white light full of strength and joy and love. The light of spirit. The light of being. The light from which all things are made. Let that beautiful, clear, white light enter you and fill you. Let it go into every part of your body. Let it suffuse you. Let it move within you. Be one with the light. Feel its power. Feel its strength. Feel its love. Now imagine that light most strongly in your heart chakra. Feel the light growing stronger and brighter in your heart. Stronger and brighter, brighter and stronger. See it shining out from your heart like a white sun within you.
And now, from your heart, send out a beam of white light into your crystal access point. See that beam of light go out to your access point, no matter how far or how close your access point may be. And see the beam of light from your heart connect with the access point. See the light flow from your heart through the beam and into the cube of light surrounding your crystal. See the cube of light begin to glow with the white light from your heart. See the cube grow brighter. See it spin faster. Send more and more light into the cube. See it spin faster and faster. See the cube transform into a tetrahedron, a triangle of light, spinning clockwise around your access crystal. The access point is now open. Continue to send light from your heart into your access point. And in that light, let us set our intent. It is our intent in this to aid and strengthen the earth and all of her creatures, to send positive and healing energy to aid them to their highest good and best outcomes, whatever these may be, to aid their higher selves in manifesting their highest purposes.
Divine Mother Goddess, Divine Father God, beloved ancestors, we pray that you will help us to send this energy in love and trust to aid and strengthen the spirit of the earth. We pray that the changes which are unfolding shall take the most positive and peaceful form possible, if it be in accordance with the free will and highest purpose of all. Beloved ones, may it be so.
And now see the light spread out from your crystal, traveling along the lines of the web to join with other crystals. See the light spreading through the whole of the web, illuminating it across the globe. Continue to send light from your heart into your access point, and from your access point throughout the web. And may the guardians of the web anchor and direct this energy for the highest good of the earth and her people. By our will, so mote it be.
So mote it be.
Now let the image fade from your mind. It will continue forward without our further attention.
Now let us give thanks.
Beloved ancestors, you who have gone before, your wisdom and your example guide us. We pray that you will be with us and aid us as we go forward, that we may call upon the strength and knowledge of the past, even as we build the future. We thank you for your presence and your aid this night and at all times. May you be blessed in all things. We offer you our love and our respect. May the blessing be upon you now and always. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
Almighty Goddess, Lady of Life and Death, you who are the creator and sustainer of the universe, the very soul of existence. O Lady, we do thank you for your presence here tonight. Though we know that you are always with us, for we dwell in one another's heart. Beloved Mother Goddess, may the blessing be upon you now and always. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
So mote it be.
Almighty God, Lord of life and death, you who are the Lord of cycles, of time and space, the very vehicle of all things, O Lord, we do thank you for your presence here tonight. Though we know that you are always with us, for we dwell in one another's hearts. Beloved Father God, may the blessing be upon you now and always. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
Now turn with me to the north. See again the column of white light we erected there when we called the quarter. As we give thanks, imagine that pillar of light sinking back down into the earth.
We thank you, Black Bear of the North, Power of Earth. We rejoice in the guidance and the aid you give us. May the blessed be upon you now and always. With love and respect, we bid you hail and farewell.
Hail and farewell.
Now turn with me to the west. See again the column of white light we erected there when we called the quarter. As we give thanks, imagine that pillar of light sinking back down into the earth.
We thank you, Blue Dolphin of the West, Power of West, we thank you. We rejoice in the guidance and the aid you give us. May the blessing be upon you, now and always. With love and with respect, we bid you hail and farewell.
Hail and
farewell.
Now turn with me to the south. See again the column of white light we erected there when we called the quarter. As we give thanks, imagine that pillar of light looking back down into the earth.
We thank you, Red Dragon of the South, Power of Fire. We rejoice in the guidance and in the aid you give us. May the blessed be upon you now and always. With love and with respect, we bid you hail and farewell.
Hail and
farewell.
And finally, turn with me to the east. See again the column of white light we erected there when we called the quarter. As we give thanks, imagine that pillar of light sinking back down into the earth.
We thank you, golden eagle of the east, power of air, we rejoice in the guidance and the aid you give us. May the blessing be upon you now and always. With love and with respect, we bid you hail and farewell.
Hail
and farewell.
Farewell.
Imagine now again that circle of light we created when we began this ritual. A circle of clear, bright, white light all around us, and above us, and below us. See that circle as clearly and as brightly as you can. And now allow that image to dissipate as we release the energy of the circle. See it fade and grow smaller and fall away.
As above, so below. As the universe, so the soul. As without, so within. May the circle now be open. All from air into air, let the misty curtain part. All is ended, all is done. What has been must now be gone. What is done by ancient art must merry meet and merry part.
May the circle now be open.
Let us come back into ourselves now, settling back into our bodies. Back into the here and now. On the count of three, we are to begin. We are where we began. One, two, three. Now let us take a moment to clear and release all excess energy. And we will now take a short station break and return for the second half of the show. We will be hearing Samhain Eve by Dave the Bard, and we'll be right back.
during our commercial break. And now, back to our show.
And hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from beautiful Chicago. And we've just had our Samhain / Beltane ritual, and I'm here with Alyssa, Pamela, and Samantha. Terry has had to leave us for the evening. And how did you enjoy the ritual this evening?
I loved it. We had a lot of fun, as always.
I thought it went very nicely.
I loved the meditation. It was great.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting creating the on-air rituals. It's a different discipline in a way because, you know, when you're in a real-time ritual, there are all kinds of physical things you can do. And the on-air ritual does somewhat preclude that. so one has to find other ways to express it.
Yeah, makes sense.
Very true.
So do you each have plans for Samhain?
Yes, actually.
What are you planning?
Our family here at our house, we're doing a big fire tomorrow night, and we are doing a little coffin and burning all of our regrets and things that we want to let go for the new year and putting it in the fire, and then just having fun afterwards and being together and remembering our ancestors. On Saturday,
very cool.
I'm doing an overnight ritual with our open circle, and we're doing roughly the same thing, but we're also going to be doing a meditation and having an ancestor tent where people can go in and leave offerings and memories of their ancestors there.
Very nice.
That sounds great.
Ours is next Saturday. We're having a ritual with the temple, Terry Temple.
Mm-hmm.
And we're planning on having an ancestor altar too. Everybody's going to bring something. We're going to put it on and light a candle for each of them and say a little something about our ancestors and then just do our normal ritual. And afterwards, we usually have a big food and we all sit down and eat together and talk, and it's fun. And we're dressing up too. I told everybody that it had to be a costume thing. And I got a couple groans, and I was like, come on. I'm like, it's always fun to dress up. So that's what we're doing. And
Very
we're going to have a guest coming up here to be with us too. So that'll be really neat.
Very nice.
My Samhain's going to be very simple. I usually just leave out a plate of food and goodies and stuff overnight and maybe light a candle and burn some regrets myself for some wishes for the new year, that sort of thing. And then I'm getting more tattoos the next day.
Oh, very good.
And what are you doing?
Well, you know, the last several Samhains, I have done an open public seance, usually for a large number of people. This year I will not be doing that, and I will be having my commemoration privately. We will be doing ritual on Saturday night, but on Samhain itself, I am expecting to, I guess you'd call it hold a seance, but it will be a small private one instead of a large public one. I am curious to see what the ancestors will say on this occasion. I do talk to them every day, but they tend to come through very strongly on this kind of special occasion. And when I talk to them every day, they often will speak up to more personal things and more universal things when it's addressing a number of people. But
when
in general,
you
it's going to be a pretty simple year for me, too.
When you do the seance, is there anything special that you do to do it? Because I've never been involved with one. That's why I'm asking.
Well, you know, the term seance means a sitting. It
mm-hmm.
is to sit for spirits, to sit for message. And there are a lot of other words to describe the same thing that are not as heavily loaded. A message circle is basically the same thing as a seance.
Mm-hmm.
People bring expectations to it that have been molded by movies and literature and
right.
by the very dramatic staging that some spiritualist types of seances were given in an earlier century. Although
mm-hmm.
even at that, the movies tend to exaggerate quite a bit, whereas the actual event is much more natural. It can be emotional for people, but it isn't really, it's not a spooky thing. It's not a weird thing. It's just opening yourself to spirit and bringing through the messages. And at the public seances I would do, people would sometimes get messages from deceased ancestors, sometimes from spirit guides, sometimes just messages. It was very individual according to who it was. Sometimes they recognized right away what it was about. Sometimes they didn't. It was very variable. We had people who were deeply emotionally affected by them. We had people who were not so deeply emotionally affected by them, but most people felt that they had gotten something good out of them.
That's
the biggest
cool.
Of the public seances that we did, because for many years we've tended to do them throughout October, the largest one, I believe, was 26 people, which is a lot of people when every person is getting a message.
Mm-hmm.
These now-in seances would often have more like 100 or so people, but not every person would get a message at those. But at the other ones we did, we usually guaranteed that every person would get a message. And the 26-person one was a lot of seance for one evening.
I should talk Terry into doing that. I think it would be neat.
It's a very interesting experience. You know, it's one of those things, the more that you do, the more you can do. I often compare the psychic ability to being like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it's going to get. And that is true. I can remember when I was first learning these things that using them for a short period of time would leave me feeling very tired, whereas with time and practice, one can go on for a very long period of time and not really feel drained. So,
do you just sit in a circle, or do you just, I mean, can you do it like around a fire?
Yeah.
Is there anything special that you do?
Well,
you know, do you cast a circle first, too?
I don't normally cast a circle. What I do is I speak to the guides and ask for their protection.
Okay.
I don't really think of it as a circle casting occasion. I will often create energetic batteries to assist. And as I say, with a seance, at least as I understand how to do messaging, your gatekeeper guide really controls who can and cannot speak. So you want to be on good terms with them. And you want to let them know what you are and are not willing to deal with. And I've always found that, I've never really had any sort of problem. I've heard other people who say they have, and all I can say is that I think they perhaps needed to have their barriers a little clearer. And usually what I have found, you know, it has depended a great deal on the time and the venue. But what I have found is that the messages that come through are almost always of a positive nature, usually of a cheerful nature, although they may affect the person receiving them very strongly if the person is not accustomed to dealing with the ancestors. And, you know, often you're able to describe the spirit, not always.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the most unexpected thing will resonate with the person. And sometimes the spirit will give you symbols that have no meaning to you, but when you speak them, they have great meaning to the person who is receiving the message. So when you're doing this kind of work, you have to bring through everything that you get without judgment. I talk about that in reference to all kinds of psychic work all the time. It's vitally important that if you're going to do this work, that you basically act as a receiver and do not attempt to interpret or analyze what you're bringing through as you're bringing it through. You can do that to your heart's content afterwards, but you cannot do it while you're doing it. It will shut it down, or worse, it will warp it by engaging your conscious mind. Your conscious mind really has to be completely out of it. And because you put your conscious mind out of it, afterwards you often cannot remember much or anything about it. Sometimes you can, it depends, but often within a few minutes, anything that you brought through, you will not remember because your conscious mind wasn't paying attention. And it wasn't really for you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've gone to a seance or had a reading with someone, and you go back 6 months and you say, "You remember when you brought through such and such?" Oh no, they're not likely to. because it won't be something that registered with them, because they're merely acting as a receiver.
And that's a lot of third-degree work, right, doing that?
Yeah. I normally think of it as third-degree work, although you don't really have to be third-degree to do it, but if you are third-degree, you should be able to do it. And it is a thing that we talk about a great deal in the third degree, and in theory is a great deal of what many third degrees will do. Although that, too, is an individual path, and what people will specialize in will vary from one person to another. But to be third degree, you must at least be able to do it. Doesn't have to be your consuming passion in life, but you must have learned how to open that door, because otherwise you can't bring through the energy that is needed for the things that third degree does.
Or I'm not there yet, though. I'm almost done with second, so I'm not there yet.
You are right, though, about occasionally strange things coming through. I remember I did a message circle at Samhain one year, and I was bringing through for someone, and all I kept getting was Snuffleupagus, like from Sesame Street. And it was driving me crazy, and I finally just said it, and I laughed, and he started crying. Turned out that his friend that had passed away had always called him Snuffleupagus. And I just...
Yeah.
Something that seemed very odd to me, that I was like, where is that coming from, was actually coming from the right place.
And that's why you can't let your conscious mind come into it, because you'll find yourself saying, oh, that can't be, or this doesn't make any sense, but it's exactly what you need to bring through. The one that I remember, all that I could get beginning to speak for the person was a teddy bear. And on one hand, it didn't particularly have any meaning to me. On the other, it was almost cliched as a symbol of comfort, but I brought it through. And it turned out they actually had it as a prearranged symbol that would be sent from the person who was deceased. And so the person understood exactly what I was saying, even though to me it just seemed like a random symbol.
Wow.
Now, we have a question in the chat room, and often I don't do questions on Thursdays, but this is directly relevant to what we're talking about. And the question is there a reason I always feel drained or tired after doing a ritual by myself or listening to a ritual with you here? And I would say that there are a couple of things I'd recommend for that. One is to make a strong point of clearing and releasing excess energy, and also of drawing in replenishing energy. But I would say that primarily you're probably working up to probably working on strengthening that psychic muscle that we've talked about. And what you want to do is make sure that you are staying clear psychically, and there are exercises we talk about in the first degree that would be helpful. They're right there, I believe, in Chapter 1. It talks about strengthening the aura. It talks about connecting to the universe. And if you feel drained, one of the things you can do in addition to releasing excess energy is to draw in the energy of the universe. And you would do this by saying a little prayer to deity, and imagining the energy coming down on you like white light in a column in through your crown chakra and filling you with white light. And after that, you should not feel like you're lacking energy. And there are other things that we talk about in first degree as well for replenishing energy, but as you do more ritual, you will not feel that way. It really has to do with the strength of the energy and building up to the point of being able to work with it. It's very much the same thing as what I was talking about with messaging. It's like a muscle. The more you do, the more you'll be able to do. And I see that we're coming to the last 10 minutes of our hour. So I'm going to see if I can play another song. But meanwhile, do any of you have anything to say to that question that you might like to add?
I would recommend developing and keeping to a daily meditation practice or a routine or trying to meditate daily. I think it's a huge help, not only in, you know, your spiritual life, but in your physical life, in keeping your emotions grounded, keeping yourself healthy, and expanding, you know, your psychic awareness and your psychic muscles, as Lord Don was saying. And if you find it hard to sit and meditate, I would say look into more active meditations like mindfulness meditation or walking meditations that actually involve movement, because I know some people have a hard time just staying still.
And Terry likes to not eat before the ritual, do the ritual, and then replenish our energy with the food. That's how he explained it to me once, because I said about, I'm always starving by the time we're done with the ritual. I was like, why can't we eat first? He was like, well, it's a good grounding technique afterwards. I'm like, yeah, but my stomach is always making noise through the whole ritual. So we've developed where we have like a vegetable tray or something little before we go into it, and then that way it holds us over till afterwards. So that was something that he recommended for us to help us.
Very cool. So I hope that answers the question. And we have about 5 minutes left. So, I think I'm going to pass on that song so we can continue talking a little bit. We have another question in the chat room. How can you tell if you're getting messages from your guides or just reading the person's thoughts? I don't know that one always could tell the difference. But I'd say either one is pretty remarkable. I think that the way that you would be able to tell the difference, and you wouldn't be able to tell it from just one occasion, but from track record, is when you get things the person does not know, or that are not really part of their mind. It's also how one of the things that can help you to tell how accurate you're being when you get things you don't know. And my general impression is that I always tell people to take everything with a grain of salt, give it a while, and then judge it by the track record, by the extent to which you tend to be successful. And to some extent, I would say that it's more important whether or not the information is useful than exactly where it's coming from. But I was taught that it comes from guides, and I often find that the information is not something that the person knows, but they'll come back later in some cases and say that it is. And I'll give you an example of why I have a strong faith in this. And when I talk, I do different things. I do straight clairvoyance for people, as well as the sort of spirit messaging when we're doing a seance. And, I've been able to get things in terms of timing, sometimes almost literally down to the minute. In fact, sometimes literally down to the minute. And I couldn't have gotten that from their thoughts. Or anything they would know, because they had no idea it was going to happen. In fact, sometimes they've argued with me and said, this can't possibly happen on this occasion. And it has. So I tend to say that it comes from the guides because the person could not have known. But you have to do it for a while to have that kind of experience to be able to see that. Now, Jeanette in the chat room remarks upon having once gone through the first three, described the first few years of a person's life to them in detail because they had upset her, and really opened something for this person, but has not been able to do it since. And I would say that you haven't been able to do it since because it was meant for that person. And you were allowed to open that door for them on that occasion because they really needed it. it isn't necessarily something that you have needed to do on other occasions. Sometimes things will come to us for just a short time, and after that we won't necessarily be able to do it because the moment demanded it. And I see we're coming to the end of our hour. I want to thank everyone who has listened. And Alyssa, Samantha, and Pamela, I want to thank you very much for joining us for the ritual.
Thank you for having us.
It's always a pleasure to have you join us. And Terry, wherever you are, we thank you too. And thank you to everyone in the chat room and everyone who's listening and everyone who will listen in the archives. And if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, we wish you a happy Samhain. And if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, we wish you a happy Beltane. And until next time, may you blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thank you for joining us on WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. You can hear us every night right here on Blog Talk Radio or download us later on iTunes. Please check our schedule for accurate show times. For all questions, comments, or show suggestions, you can email us at pagans tonight@gmail.com and let us know how we're doing. We'd love to hear from you. You can also visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on LiveJournal. We invite you to tune in again tomorrow night. Good night, and blessed be.